Jack took the lead at Ryan's behest. The albino was at home in the swamps and knew them intimately. Any dangers that might lurk from the treacherous ground beneath their feet were well known to the hunter. As they progressed, Ryan became aware that Jack was moving with unease. When they stopped to rest, Ryan questioned Jack.
This feels weird. Not good. Like something bad hang over us. Over all of this.
Christy's doomy sense was usually a good indicator of when trouble was around the corner.
I can feel it, but I don't know what it is. It's almost like an emptiness. It's not the swamp or the animals.
Nothing's wrong there. But no people. Where to hunt parties?
Ryan tried to get a handle on these feelings, translate them into something concrete. Whatever was causing it was also responsible for the apparent lack of human life. There was no way it could be good. But beyond that, Ryan had little notion at present of what it could mean.
Just stay triple red. Be ready for anything.
They continued on for over an hour, with nothing to break the monotony of the march, until Jack suddenly halted.
Swampies, coming straight for us.
What in the hell are swampies?
We met them before. Muties that just won't lie down and die.
Can't we skirt around them?
No. Tricky bastards. They got good instincts, and if the swamps are as deserted as we think, then they'll sniff us out as the only fresh meat in town.
With their weapons drawn, they continued on their way. Colette was unarmed, so Jack gave her a couple of his leaf-bladed throwing knives to use for defense.
They're not much good with these bastards. Just use as last help. Pray we blow the bastards away.
There was no chance they could avoid the swampies. The muty creatures had scented them and were closing in. It was merely a matter of hoping that the hunters wouldn't be able to surround them. Slowly, they made their way through the swamps, every bird call, animal cry, or sound of moving water holding the possibility of attack. Crossing a narrow strip of marshy grass that weaved an erratic path between two landmasses, surrounded on either side by rush-strewn waters, they could see clearly for several hundred yards in each direction. A half dozen swampies suddenly emerged from the water on either side of them, waves of stagnant, stinking swamp water sweeping over them, blinding the travelers. The muties had been lying in wait, using their enhanced respiratory capacities to stay hidden. They were uncannily silent as they attacked, the only sounds being the movement of their limbs through water. The dwellers in the bayou had called them les morts vivants, the living dead, and indeed they closely resembled the voodoo zombies of legend. But these were very much alive and had only one thing on their minds, killing their prey. JB let fly with a burst of fire from the mini Uzi, catching a thin rangy man across the chest and shoulders, flinging him back into the water. But it wasn't enough to kill him, and he rose again. A well-aimed shot from Mildred's ZKR through the forehead took him out. She figured that if they had enough strength to keep getting up, maybe they could be killed like traditional zombies with a shot through the head.
Never thought all those late-night movies would turn out to be educational.
The swampies were carrying machetes and knives rather than blasters. Even the dumb muties had enough sense to know a waterlogged blaster didn't work, so the travelers had some advantage. But the blinding wash of swamp water had given the hunters valuable seconds in which to draw close. Two of them zeroed in on Colette, one from each side of the path, realizing that she had no blaster. They were waxy, their skins covered in sores, and as they reached for her, she was frozen with fear. One of the muties was short and skinny, the other tall with a huge gut. Both were incredibly strong, and taking one arm each began to tug at her. Their combined strength was ripping the muscles in her arms, pulling her shoulders out of their sockets. Her knives fell uselessly to the ground. There was little help for her. Christy, Jack, and Ryan were using their hand blasters to fire on the swampies, trying to get them in the head each time, other shots proving little more than a delaying action. The swampies were on the path, grabbing at the travelers who kicked out, trying to stop them closing their vice-like grips about their arms and legs, dragging them into the water. JB took the M4000 from his back and let loose a load of barbed metal flechettes that took out one swampy by severing the top half of his body almost cleanly from the bottom. Doc, too, had dealt with one swampy in this manner, using the Lamaze shot chamber to equally lacerate a swampy who bore down. But the ancient percussion pistol had only one load of shot. As Doc was reloading, he was dragged down by a swampy. The creature couldn't wait to take a bite from him, and he felt its fetid breath as its head came toward him, the dull eyes showing nothing of its imminent triumph. The old man twisted his arm and wrist so that the Lamaze was going against the swampy's temple, then fired. Colette was down, her arms useless. The swampy with the huge gut decided to end his tussle with his compatriot by using his machete to hack her in two. The shot from JB's M4000 reduced the mutie's neck and shoulders to bloody ribbons. And suddenly, it was over. The travelers stood, exhausted by the struggle. They were covered in blood that was both theirs, their opponents, and Colette's. The woman was dead, and there had been little they could do to save her. The corpses of some of the swampies lay on the path, while others had sunk into the swamp, claimed by the waters from which they had sprung.
Dark night. We didn't repay her too well.
Well, if you can't take care of yourself, you shouldn't be out here.
Pausing only to clean the blood from them as best as possible, and slipping the corpses into the water to cover their tracks for any other swampies, they continued on in subdued silence.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your ears.